spend our time in this morning is John 14, but also we will be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, so you might want to mark that in your Bible, and we'll spend some time there. So, as Brad said, this is the upper room. Christ has been teaching these disciples for 3 years. He is the source of their comfort, of truth, as they see it, and He is their teacher, and He is the reminder of God's plan for salvation and God's purpose in having Christ come. So Jesus has told them that the word or the teachings that you have heard, and He's speaking to the disciples, that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So Jesus wants to make it clear He has not taught anything in His earthly ministry that does not come from God the Father. He is here to fulfill the plan of the triune God for salvation. The disciples haven't understood everything that Jesus is saying. I mean, He's given them a lot. And they don't quite understand a lot of the things, but they do know one thing. At this point, I firmly believe the disciples knew that God the Father had sent Jesus and that He came from heaven. And this gave them vision, it gave them hope, and it gave them comfort because Jesus was in their presence. But now they're being told that Jesus is soon to leave. And this brings great distress in their lives, partly because they have not fully understood all the teachings that Jesus has been trying to get them to understand. And so Jesus tells them when He departs, God will send the Comforter, the Helper, or the Spirit of Truth whom the world cannot receive because the world neither sees the Holy Spirit or God, nor does it know Him. And then Jesus tells them that this is going to be given to them. And then He affirms to the disciples, in addition to this, He says, you know Him, speaking of the Holy Spirit, for He dwells with you. So at this point, the Holy Spirit dwells with or among Christ and the disciples. And then He says, and will be in you. So very soon, the Holy Spirit then will be given and will actually dwell within the disciples. So the Holy Spirit makes clear through the Apostle Paul in the writing that the wisdom of God, the world did not know God. See, God, for whatever reason He chose, the world cannot see Him. And it takes the wisdom, and that takes the Holy Spirit in order to know God. So, even though the world, it says, always is learning, it will never be able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Now, all we have to do is look around the world, and don't we see these two things are true? Most of the world does not see God or know Him. And even though the world is full of intellectual knowledge, it is almost devoid in many areas of spiritual wisdom and the knowledge of truth. So since the world at large is spiritually dead, and dead people are capable of doing what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And because they are dead then, the spiritually dead cannot know God. It's impossible. It is only when God has regenerated a person's soul and they are saved that they come to know the knowledge of the truth because of the Holy Spirit. See, we are able to see that prior to Jesus' resurrection and the Pentecost, the disciples found it difficult to understand the teachings of Jesus because at this point, they had not been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So, it says, when therefore and Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This remembrance and this understanding comes after the resurrection. So, as we begin to look at this section of John that deals with the Holy Spirit, let's pray for spiritual wisdom. Father, we come before you this morning and we just lift up our time together. We lift up your word. May your word fill our hearts, our minds, our souls. May it enlighten us. May it give us knowledge. May it give us spiritual wisdom, and may it change who we are, the way we think and act and live. Father, we desperately need you in our lives. Living in a fallen world is so difficult, and we can't do it without you. Help us, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. So in our passage this morning, Jesus explains to the disciples, and he says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So in these two verses, we see three aspects of God's Spirit. We see that the Holy Spirit is the Helper or Counselor, and we see that the Holy Spirit is a teacher, and we see that the Holy Spirit is a prompter. So in John's Gospel, he's already put forth about the Holy Spirit being the Helper and Comforter. And in chapter 16, John is going to deal with the holiness of the Spirit. But here the emphasis is on the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a teacher and a prompter. And we're going to look at each of these. So remember when we studied in verse 16 a few weeks ago, or a month or so ago, because we're not going that fast, but Jesus tells the disciples, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. So let me ask you, who was the first counselor or the first helper sent by God for the salvation of mankind? That's right. Whenever in doubt, always say Jesus. You know. So, now Jesus says God is going to send another helper. So, we already learned that this helper from the prior message, the helper is not similar to Jesus. And that this helper and counselor is not different from Jesus. And we know from the structure of the Greek that it teaches us there are two different words that are translated as another. The first is heteros. It means another, but it is different from the first. In Luke 20, the owner, remember, of the vineyard sent his slave to collect the rent from those he rented his vineyard to, and they ended up beating him and abusing him. So then the owner sends another slave, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And then he sends additional people and finally sends his son, and they kill him. But it is clear by the use of the Greek that this another is not the same. Each of these people are different. They are not the same. However, Jesus, in this passage, it says the Greek word is allos, meaning another just like the first. So the helper, the counselor, the Holy Spirit of God is another divine being just like the first, just like Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is all-knowing. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful, and the Holy Spirit is all-present, just like God the Father and God the Son. And by the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit into our souls, the souls of those who are saved, we experience peace even in times of trouble. We are comforted in times of worry, and this is because we are given something the world does not have. We are given spiritual wisdom from God, by God, who lives in us. As one looks back over the 3 years of Jesus' teaching to the disciples, one can see how they would struggle with understanding because they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. When Jesus had taught him, I mean, quite frankly, at times I feel for the poor disciples. I mean, it was like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose at times. They were just so overwhelmed with the things that Jesus was presenting in their life. And Jesus is telling them that they need further teaching. So now they're really overloaded. And along with the teaching, he says, you also got to have understanding. He says, I'm leaving, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and he will not only teach you, but he will give you this understanding. So the role of the Holy Spirit is exactly the same today as it was at the time of Christ. It is to teach us and give us spiritual understanding. Much of the meaning and the purpose of the scriptures would go right over our heads if the Holy Spirit didn't give us the ability to understand these words of God with understanding and wisdom. Another observation we can take out of verse 26 is the Trinity. Let me read it again. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So first, we see comes the Helper and the Holy Spirit. And that is followed by God the Father who sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then comes in my name, which is Jesus, and teaches about Jesus. So here in this verse, we also see the Trinity represented. And even though these verses were primarily Christ speaking to the disciples, they are every bit as well to teach us today as they did the disciples more than 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit would teach the disciples after Jesus' resurrection, and today he continues to teach us. His mission is not complete. It has not changed. In addition, the Holy Spirit gave the disciples, as we talked with the children, the very words to pen and write that we now call the Bible. These are the very words of God. God used the personality of each of the writers, and that's the reason we see the personality and the differences in these writings. But the primary purpose of all the Bible is to reveal the glory of Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. And unsaved people are unable to understand the spiritual truth found within the Bible. Without the Holy Spirit dwelling with us, in us, and giving us spiritual wisdom, the truth of the scriptures then remains hidden. And Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. He said, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, my beloved, does this help you understand why the world is so consumed with worldly pursuits and why the world looks at us as though we are strange to believe the Bible? And the world cannot make sense of the Bible. Do you see why there's such a separation between believers and unbelievers in this world? So the Apostle Paul said it really better than I could ever hope to say it. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, I'm going to take a little time to go through verses 6 through 13 because I think it speaks to us as Christians and the role of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to spend a little time there. So if you'll take out your Bibles, we'll begin in verse 6. So here we go. It says, yet do not speak, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. So what this tells us is many of the brightest scientists, many of our political leaders, they may have a huge intellect, but they lack spiritual wisdom. And then as, you know, and so they don't understand. And what the scriptures tell us, the reason they don't understand is because these people are of the old age. The new age that has come upon us is the age and in the enlightenment of Jesus Christ through God, the Holy Spirit. As we continue in verse 7, it says, but we speak God's wisdom in mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. See, do you understand that God predestined each and every one of us to be a child of God before he even created the universe? Doesn't that blow you away? I mean, God predestined that with Christ's resurrection would come the gift to believers of the Holy Spirit. And we would live in what we call the end times. Now, Christ is coming back. I'm not sure how soon, but he's on his way back. And we live in the end times, and we live in the reality of the scriptures of eternal truth as compared to the world of unbelievers that lives in the moment. When was the last time you heard a political leader talk about doing something because it would benefit people 50 years or 100 years from now? It doesn't happen anymore. So in verse 8 it says, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, and here Paul quotes Isaiah 64, he says, the things which the eye has not seen, nor and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. See, if you don't have spiritual wisdom, none of this makes sense. No wonder the world looks at us and thinks these people are strange. They've lost touch with reality. And we actually live in eternal reality compared to their temporal and short-term reality. See, you were created before the creation of the universe. God knew that you would be born at this time in history, that you would live at this time in history, and he has prepared you for this time in history, that you are to live a life to bring him glory, to serve him with the living out of your life. So then the question becomes for us, are we being obedient to the calling of God in our lives? Is your life bringing God glory? Now, as we continue in verse 10, it says, for to us God revealed them, and he's talking about the things that we just talked about in verse 9. He says, reveal them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. See, it is the illumination of the Holy Spirit that gives your soul and your mind and your heart the revealed spiritual wisdom of God. And then in verse 11, it says, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? So when men rely upon their own intellect, on their own fallen spirit, then man is left with his own fallen intellectual path through life, and he does not know God. Even so, it says, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, sees into the heart of the triune God, God the Father, and knows all, for He is equally God. And then in verses 12 and 13, we see the wonderful gift that God gives for believers. Now, we believers have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. This is how we're supposed to live. So, my beloved, again, are we able to take this spiritual wisdom and thoughts given by the Holy Spirit, and then we are to take these things and we are to speak spiritual words and truths for the purpose of all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. See, now the question is, beloved, are we up to this assignment? Are we up to the assignment God has given us to live for His glory, live out the Scriptures? And quite simply, I think the answer is no, we're not. Not without the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not empowering us, giving us wisdom, and giving us the understanding of God, then we can't do what God has called us to do. The Holy Spirit does just the same for us today as He did for the disciples and for believers through all history. And when we rely on the Holy Spirit, and we quit trying to do things in our own power, then we are able to live lives that God has called us to live. Lives that bring Him glory. Living to bring Him glory, and that what part of that also we're supposed to do that we fail to do so often is we are supposed to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost world. Let me read verse 26 of John 14 again. Remember it said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." See, the first part of the verse speaks about the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the second part speaks about remembrance. The question to be asked is, why, if the disciples were taught by Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, does anything need to be brought back into their minds? As we reflect on this verse and we look at human nature, we see that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to prompt and help people in remembering. Why? Because as people, we have short-term memory loss all the time. We have a hard time retaining important things. It's possible, I think, that we can be taught well in a subject, we can master this subject, and then forget some principal and key parts of it. I mean, I saw a segment recently on TV where Jay Leno walked out on the street and he was asking people, "Tell me, what is 9/11? There were a number of people that couldn't remember what 9/11 was. And what shocked me, several of these young people were in graduate studies at prestigious universities like Stanford and Harvard and stuff, and they couldn't even tell you what 9/11 was. See, people's memories are short. So, the disciples had the same problem that Jesus had taught them, but they didn't understand because they didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit yet. And they And so the Holy Spirit then comes and has to teach them and remind them and bring the teachings of Jesus Christ back into their minds and remembrance. In addition, we also saw it was after Jesus' resurrection, these disciples were in fear. They're huddling together in a room. They had lost their focus. They had lost their focus on the teaching of Christ, and they had lost their focus on the teacher himself. Today, we have the same problem. Christians and ministries that lose their focus on Christ have forgotten the basis of true faith and put their focus on other things than Jesus. They've often put their focus on a number of things, and the most common one is good works. See, when Joyce and I were working in Pakistan, one of the large ministries we worked with that oversaw a hospital had come to the point where they said all that was required was to do good works, just to do healing on people. And that was become the primary goal of what they called their ministry. I asked the bishop in charge, I said, what good is it if we take a person who has physical problems, we surgically remove something that went bad in their body, or one of the things this hospital did a lot of was cataract surgery. So what good does it if we give back people their physical sight, but at the same time they go on to spend eternity in hell? So after what I would call a heated discussion that lasted quite a while, the bishop and I came to an understanding that we were able to start having Bibles and tracts. And we hired a man that I called Lazarus. He spoke 8 tribal languages. His whole job, he didn't work for the hospital because the hospital was operating out of fear. They said, we're in a Muslim country. If we start preaching Christ, they may come shut us down. So we hired Lazarus. He didn't work for the hospital. He worked for me. And Lazarus' job was to go through the hospital and pray for people and then share Christ with them. And they were all Muslims. But people listened to him. People appreciated the prayer. And so we began actually to have ministry in the hospital again. See, when Christ was crucified, and risen, that's what we're supposed to preach, isn't it? There's power in preaching that Christ was crucified, risen, and still lives. The wisdom of God is not new. The wisdom of God has not changed. See, so the question, my brothers and sisters, is, are you, like we used to say in sports, are you keeping your eye on the ball? Are you focused on Christ? You have such a little change and little impact and little influence and so many of the things going on around you. I'm not saying you shouldn't be active politically. I'm not saying you shouldn't be involved in your community. I am. You should be. But what I'm saying, you have to keep your focus on Christ, not the world. It's through the study of God's Word. It's through prayer that we begin to receive the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and we can keep our focus. And the Holy Spirit, through our study and our meditation, brings back to our minds the eternal truth, the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can keep our focus on Christ. I mean, we have a huge problem in the United States. And actually, I think it's a problem that has plagued Christianity and plagued the church of our Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning. As humans, we have this tendency that we think we need to help God, that He didn't get it quite all right. So we're always inventing new theologies. I mean, ministries and leaders are always looking at ways to set themselves apart, to try to make themselves special, so they're different. You know, and all you have to do is look at history, and if you look at the history of the church, you see all these schisms, you see all these fads, you see all these detours that the church has taken. I hear people saying, I'm going to this church because they're teaching something new. You know, something I've not heard before. The Holy Spirit has given them a special revelation. Well, I'm here to tell you the truth is that these revelations are not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only teaches and only reveals what God the Father and God the Son have taught and what is consistent with the Word of God, the Bible. This is the standard, what you're holding in your hands. It's not some new tweak on ministry. So at Canyon Bible, then, our goal and our effort is to teach what the Holy Spirit brings. He brings the old truths, the truths of the Bible, the truths that come into our mind, our heart and soul, and then we are to preach those truths. We are to study the old doctrine because it's the doctrine given by God and delivered to His saints. And it is all we need. The second thing is that the truth of God's Word reminds us and teaches us over and over because even if we're saved, we have this tendency to forget. And then as we forget, we have this tendency to come up with some strange stuff. And we have to get back and keep our focus on Christ. And we do that by reading and studying the Scriptures. Otherwise, we start traveling down a road that's not where we want to end up. See, we're going to get where we're going. But when we get there, it may not be where we wanted to end up. We only end the journey well through the Scriptures. See, and as we study the history of the church, don't we often see where the Holy Spirit comes along, even in the Old Testament Israel, comes along, straightens people out, they have a revival, they get all excited, they come back in line with God. We've seen the Great Awakening in the United States. And then gradually, after the Great Awakening, after people come back to the basics, come back to the Scriptures, gradually they forget what God has taught him. And the true message of God begins to fade. And churches go on into all these schisms and paths. And then it becomes ineffective. And then we ask, why isn't the church having an influence in society? Why has it where the church in America used to influence our society and today the society influences the church? See, we become ineffective. And we see this cycle repeat itself over and over. I often see families with great spiritual leadership, great effort to be in the Scriptures. And then what happens? The next generation becomes less adherent to the Word of God. And then the next generation becomes a little more lukewarm to the Word of God. And the next generation becomes cold. See, we have to fight this. We have to fight it in our families, and we have to fight it in the church. So my job is to remind you. My job is to remind you, my brothers and sisters, of the old truths. Your job is to remind each other. Your job is to read and study the truths of Scripture and then edify each other. Hold each other accountable. Love each other to the standards of the Scriptures. See, our job at Canyon Bible Church is to remind the world of the truth of God's Word, even though this truth will most likely be rejected. See, reading verse 26 again, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." This verse also says something else that I don't want to miss. It says the object of the Holy Spirit's teaching is who? It is Jesus Christ. It is not some fantasy or some weird theology. It is always based on Christ. And there's a danger, even for evangelical believers, there's a danger that we make the Scriptures an end-all to themselves. I mean, we're tempted to study the Bible like a textbook, memorizing all the data that it contains. If we do that, we can lose our focus on the purpose of the Scriptures. And the purpose of the Scriptures is to reveal Christ and to change us as we seek the truth of Christ. See, the final point I want to make is that the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to teach the truth of Scriptures to the others, to the lost world. I mean, teaching spiritual truths cannot be done through our own flesh. There are three things, I think, that are necessary to teach God's truth. The first has already happened. That was that the Holy Spirit revealed to the writers of the Scriptures of the Bible what was to be written. The truth of God. And we have that now. Second, there must be the teaching of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. Often I've heard the longest distance is between the 18 inches between the mind and the heart. We have to have the two come together. So we read the words just the way the apostles wrote them, and we read the words of Scripture so that we come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the focus of their writing. Jesus was the focus of their living. And that's our purpose in living as well. See, this is what we're called to do and live. The third thing is that we must continue in the work of the Holy Spirit so that He brings the remembrance of all these things. Just like Stephen. Stephen's under all this pressure and he's getting stoned. And what does he do? He gives this wonderful testimony about God and Jesus. Don't worry so much about what you're going to say when confronted by unbelievers. If you've been studying, you've been praying, the Holy Spirit will give you the right words. See, and understanding the words of the Scripture changes who we are. We can't have an impact on the world if we don't know the Bible. Then there are those who... I've known many people like this. I've known people that have studied the Bible academically, right? And they know the Scriptures, some of them a lot better than I do. But they don't let the Holy Spirit take over their lives. They don't let the Holy Spirit speak to them through the Word. It's just an intellectual exercise. And they lack spiritual wisdom. And then there are those who hold the Scriptures in high esteem, but they're testifying and doing and working in their own power to bring themselves glory as opposed to submitting to Christ. And neither of these methods does God get glory or does the person get glory. Not in the long run. See, you and I, my beloved, we are to do the work of spiritual farmers. I mean, first, God prepares us. He cultivates the soil of our mind and our soul. And by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, do we start having illumination and understanding of God's Word. And it's by His Spirit's power and wisdom that we are prepared then to plant seeds of the gospel in others. See, we water it, right? And by God's grace, when we are sharing the gospel and watering people with the truths of the gospel, two things happen. Not only do they grow and begin to have spiritual understanding, but we continue to grow. So we water it and we grow spiritually. And if the seed has life that God has given it, then that life will grow and take root. I mean, we can work hard, can't we? We can hoe the weeds. We can sit there and water and do all that. But if the soil has not been prepared by the Holy Spirit, the seed will not grow. And that is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to come alongside spiritually living to help people. We are to be obedient with the planting. We are to be obedient and let God figure out who He's given life to. And if the seed takes life, if the gospel begins to bloom, that's when our work starts. Too many American Christians want to shoot somebody with a silver bullet of the gospel and then walk away with a notch on their gun and leave the person there withering, trying to figure out what the truth is. And no wonder do we have all these religions that are doing all sorts of stuff. See, God wants us to invest our time and nourish the planted seed. I mean, we're to water and care and weed, because there's a lot of stuff out there that interferes with the gospel. And when we do that, the Son of God, the sun shines upon that seedling and it begins to get life and grow. See, that's what we're to do. Everything we need for the task laid before us by God is found in two things. The power of the Holy Spirit and His ministry to us as a helper, as a counselor, as a teacher, and a prompter. And it's found in the Word of God. Nowhere else. See, we are to live for the glory of God. He is our Lord, He is our Master, and He is our Savior. I know the King James is a great Bible, but we are His slaves, not His bondservants. And we're supposed to be happy about being His slaves. We're happy that He's our Master. See, so this is what life is about then. Allowing the Holy Spirit to change us. Allowing the Bible to change our hearts and our souls. And then acting and living out on it. This is what we're called to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go from here and I want you to live for Christ. I want you to take the opportunity to share Christ with those you work with your family and your friends. And if they don't want to listen, that's okay. Some will. And that's great. That is your mission. That should be your life's focus. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. We thank You that You've given us an opportunity to come together and worship as a community. We thank You we still live in a country where we can openly worship Christ, glorify Christ, read the Bible unhindered, Father. We do lift up the brothers and sisters in Christ in all the tribes, all the nations, all the language groups who live in countries that are abused and oppressed. The prince of this world does not want Christ honored. Father, help us honor Christ, live for His glory. We need Your strength. We can't do it without You. Amen.